Good morning, Azalea City. Welcome to our services here at Azalea City. Also, those who are tuning in that are from around the area, also around the country, and maybe even around the world, it's certainly great to see you this morning. I have already had a great morning because I was able to listen to George and David's class on the characteristics of a faithful church. And certainly we want the more part of that, not the less part of that. And so thankful to those guys who almost got through all their points, but they'll finish that next week. But certainly glad to be here today. Certainly want to say happy Memorial Day weekend, I guess. It's the beginning of a week, but tomorrow's Memorial Day. We appreciate those families out there whose lives have certainly been affected by the ultimate sacrifice of laying down their freedom for us to be free. And it's amazing because of that, we're free today. Sorry, that's live TV or whatever this is, live internet. Siri goes off on me from time to time. But nonetheless, we're so glad to be here today, and it is our Lord's Day, and He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can do what we're doing today. And so I'm thankful that you're here. We do want to go ahead and encourage you to like, to share this post so that we can get it out. Very soon, we hope again to be able to be back together. But until then, let's get this message out this way as much as we can. And so as we get ready now to enter into our worship service, we'll go to song. And then when we come back, we'll get into our worship to God especially. But thanks to Steve for always doing our songs, Theo, Robert, and so many others who helped make this happen. We love all you guys out there, and we'll be back after this song.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Unto the fierce trial and storm, why heights of love?
No guilt in mine. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for being our God and being the one who forgives us. And Father, we so often fail you. We thank you for seeing fit to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins so that we can be reconciled back to you. Father, I pray that we'll never forget the magnitude of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we'll always understand that nobody is too far gone. Nobody is not worth saving in your eyes. And we'll certainly see that this morning when we study the conversion of Saul. Father, it doesn't matter what we've done in our past, that you're willing to look past it, that you're willing to forgive us of our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that you'll remember them no more. You just want our life. You just want our dedication and our commitment to you. Father, and I pray that if there is anyone among us this morning that struggling, or maybe that hasn't come into your fold, come into your family, Father, I pray that we can make that decision to either return or to really know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can cherish that hope of eternal life that is provided. Father, I pray that you'll be with us this morning as we worship. I pray that it is done in a manner that pleases you. I pray that it's done in spirit and in truth, Father, and I pray that we can all continue to grow closer to each other, even through this period of physical distancing. Father, I pray that you'll bless us all. I pray that you'll end this virus soon. Help us to reunite very, very soon. Thank you again for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that is found only through Christ Jesus. Thank you for the hope of heaven we have. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we will sing this song.
as we get ready to remember the sacrifice of our Lord, it's a great song to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice, but also our opening song was such a great song to remind us of what Christ has done. And so to help really direct our minds to the cross today, to direct our minds to the sacrifice of our Lord, and to remind ourselves that we can't do this without Him, and we must do this in Christ alone, I want to read those lyrics again, just to get our minds thinking about the sacrifice of our Lord. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here, in the death of Christ, I live. There in the ground, His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He arose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. So no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Today, everything we do as Christians comes from what Christ did alone. It's nothing that we have done, nothing that we could do on our own. We were lost, we were dead, we were hopeless. But in Christ alone, He changed it all. And today, as we gather around to commune together, whether we are in our homes, or those of us in this building, or Justin and I up here at this table, we're doing this because of Jesus Christ. Let's let our minds focus now on the cross. Focus on what He's done. Let's give thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus. Father, as we come before Your throne in worship to You today, Father, may we rid ourselves of any outside distractions, any struggles that may be going on. And especially now, Father, as we come to what we focus our attention, our worship on, and the reason we can focus our attention on is because of Your Son alone. Father, for the sacrifice that He made, for the being the true Lamb of God, Father, for being the one and only sacrifice that ever has to be made again. Father, help us to never ever forget what Jesus did, so that we can be here today to worship You, so that we can be a part of the greatest entity ever invented, and that is Your kingdom, the church of our Lord. Father, I pray that You will help us now as we partake of this bread that represents His broken and beaten body on that cross. Father, I pray that we will partake of it in a manner that's pleasing in Your sight. We ask Your blessings upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer this morning. Father God, we are so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for His willingness. As Terry just read the lyrics of a song that we have sung just recently, that He was willing to go and to pay the price for us. Father, He bore that cross alone. And it's humbling to think about. It's upsetting to think about that He had to do it because of us. And Father, even as Terry mentioned earlier this morning, that we are in a weekend, beginning of a week, that we're going to remember people that have sacrificed their lives for this great country. Father, a lot of times I think we get caught up in just remembering on the actual day to memorialize the people that have fought and died. For the other 364 days out of the year, we often forget. I pray that that is not the case with Jesus. I pray that we do a better job of remembering the sacrifice. I pray that we do a better job of remembering the blood that was spilt on our behalf. The cleansing blood that allows our slates to be clean, to be white as snow, so that we can be pure and perfect in Your eyes. Father, I pray that we will not just remember Jesus for these few moments, but we'll continue to remember Him the rest of this day, the rest of this week, the rest of our lives. Thank You again for His sacrifice and the hope of heaven we have through Him. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That is the conclusion of the Lord's Supper. But just like if we were standing up here, now would be a time that we'd have an opportunity to give back. Now, I do want to say, just like Justin mentioned in his prayer, we can, those who gave their blood and their lives on the battlefield, we can never repay that. Just like we can never repay God for what He's done for us. But it doesn't mean we don't try. We try, and we're commanded to give to God, to give to His church, to give back. And again, it's just a portion of the many ways He's blessed us. You know, it was said last Wednesday by my father-in-law that what we are attracted to the most is pavement in heaven. You know, those streets of gold. That's going to be asphalt, if you will. We're going to walk on that. That's how precious heaven is. And we can never repay God for what He's done. But we do have an opportunity to give back. It's been made available through our website. It's been made available through the Tithely app. And certainly you can continue to mail checks in and do it that way as well. But we do want to be thankful for what God has given us, what He's done for us, and the many ways He's blessed us. So let's give thanks at this time. Father, we thank You so much for the many ways that You have so richly blessed us. Father, in this country alone, we have had men and women spill their blood and give up their lives. And not only did it affect them, Father, but it's affected so many in their families and just so many so young and just went willingly to give their lives and their lifeblood so that we can be here today and be so blessed today. Father, I just pray that we'll never take that for granted and we'll give back to them and back to this country and to the sacrifice that's been made. But Father, even much more than that, Jesus gave His life so that we can be free spiritually, so that we can be free from sin. Father, help us to give back. Help us to give to the cause so that we can take the name of Jesus throughout our community, throughout our city, throughout our state, throughout our country, throughout the world, and we can bring glory to You. Thank You again, Father, for the blessings. Thank You, Jesus, for the sacrifice. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here we are, Justin.
Week 10.
Just say again.
Week 10.
Week 10, and we continue now in the book of Acts because and let me get back. Some of you may have just tuned in for the first time today, and we want to welcome you all to our assembly here at Azalea City, the way we're assembling as of right now, through virtualism and through us being able to give you this lesson through this in this manner. But we started back in January. Our elders came up with a great theme. January seems like eons ago, but it was a great theme for our church this year, and it's the theme focus. And again, it's 2020, and we never thought that we would get so much distraction in this year, but what a great opportunity for the cream to rise to the top, so to speak. And so Justin and I set out embarking in this manner. Our whole plan was always, my plan at least, because I would be standing up here giving these lessons normally by myself, but it was eventually to get to Acts. We would get to the book of Acts and we would talk about the first century church, getting back to the basics, getting back to the focus, where we need to be, where our eyes need to be. And so Justin and I have just been journeying, and it's been a great journey for me personally. And I hope it has for you all as well. But we've been journeying through the first century church and the great sacrifices and boldness and everything that has just been so amazing and spectacular, if you will. We started out with that hashtag, expect the spectacular. Well, we're going to continue with that theme now because Acts 9 is one of those cornerstone chapters, I think. If you're going to be a Christian, and we pray that everybody is, but if we're going to be Christians, you know, Paul's going to be very special to us, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to know about him. In fact, he's been referred to as the second greatest soul winner who's ever walked this earth, Jesus Christ being the first, obviously. So if that be the case, then we need to know his story. And George and David talked about us giving our stories and being able to personalize our evangelism of ourselves. And so Paul was very proud. He saw in Acts 9, but he was very proud of his conversion. So where is that conversion? Well, it's right here in Acts 9.
Yeah. And if you ever wanted a 10-point sermon, here's one today, right? Yeah. There's so much good information in this, and there's probably even multiple sermons throughout Acts 9. And I have listed just 10 points, and they're pretty quick points, maybe sum up a couple verses here. But if it's all right with you, I'll read the first 9 verses, and then that will, I know we have 3 or 4 points just here in these first few 9 verses. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. So we open chapter 9 and Saul is still ravishing the church, right? Yeah. He's still persecuting the church. He's still eager to kill Christians.
It's
and I think
a continuation of chapter 8.
That's exactly right.
Stephen was
saying. That's right. So Saul is still eager, breathing these threats and threatening murder to kill people. He was trying to put Christianity out.
That's right.
Right?
I was just going to say he was trying to eliminate it. He didn't. Now again, please understand, I described him as a terrorist last week, and we will reference that again in just a moment. But what I meant by that is he was bringing terror to the church. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't think he was doing what was right.
Right.
And that is, he was 100% on board of being a Pharisee who wanted to kill out this
Christianity. Yeah, he's very convicted, right?
Absolutely.
For what he was doing. But what I find interesting here in the second verse, it says, so that if he found any belonging to the way, and that's what the ESV reads, and
right.
It has it capitalized, which to me is obviously it's a reference to Christianity, but it's showing us, to me, there's more of than just a belief or a little bit of doctrine or a set of opinions here. It was like following Jesus, this is the way that we had to do it. Now, Jesus says that he was the way, the life, and the truth, right? Right? That no one could come to the Father except through him. Here we are, we see Christians are referenced to the way. And that's a capital, it's a good way to look at it.
Which is really cool because that was what the church was referred to.
Right.
You know, they referred to themselves, and George and David again pointed out this morning, the church literally meaning the assembling of the ecclesia or the called out. And so that's what we know it as today. And then they're first called Christians later on in Antioch. And
right.
So with that mindset, the church here is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still so significant
yep.
because once we obey the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, he gives us this passage into the kingdom, which one day God is going to take home with him, the spiritual kingdom, and will be in the kingdom of heaven.
And just kind of reiterates the point that it's just not a set of beliefs that you and I are following. This is like a new path, a new life that we have. Second thing I find here is we see how important the church is to Jesus. And verses 3 through 5, where Jesus appears to Saul and he says, Saul, Saul, he didn't say, why are you persecuting the people whom I love or the people who are following me or the way or the church? Why are you persecuting me? Right? And that just brings home that we are the body of Christ and Jesus absolutely loves his church.
Absolutely. He is the head. We are the body.
Mm-hmm.
He is the groom. We are the bride.
That's right.
Today, Jesus Christ has a lot of names. He's referred to one of them as the head of the church. And that is the case. I'm not the head of the church. The elders aren't the head of the church. God, Jesus Christ specifically, is the head of the church. And so I find it interesting right here as we journey into this, as Saul is journeying to Damascus to destroy Christianity,
right.
He sees this light. He falls to the ground, and like you said, he cries out, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, then Saul cries out here, who are you, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And man, I just, as we were thinking about that, I thought, what a question. Maybe there are some people today who have not seen that light. I'm not trying to end our lesson right here, but I want us to think about that. There are some maybe watching or that will watch this today that maybe you aren't where you need to be as a Christian, or maybe you aren't a Christian yet. And that's totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not forever, but right now in this moment. Because we want you to hear this message. We want this message to apply to everyone, but especially those who are like Saul, who maybe thought they were doing what's right, or maybe they weren't living what's right, and they've been okay with that. Well, there comes a point in time when there's a day of reckoning, and that's conviction, okay? We've got to be convicted in our thoughts. And so maybe we need to ask that question, who are you, Lord? Well, I want to answer for just for a moment the way the Bible describes who God is. Now, stay with me, okay? These are the biblical references to the name God throughout the Scriptures. Who is God? Who are you, Lord? Well, He is El Shaddai, which literally means He is Lord God Almighty. Who are you, Lord? He is El Elyon, the Most High God. He is Adonai, Lord and Master. He is Yahweh, which is Lord and Jehovah. He is Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord, my banner. He is Jehovah Ra, which is the Lord, my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord that heals. He is Jehovah Shema, which is the Lord is there. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Mi Kadishkin, which is the Lord who sanctifies you. He is El O Lamb, the everlasting God. He is Elohim, God. He is Kana, jealous. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is all of those things, and He is still the God who wants to have a relationship with Saul and a relationship with you and a relationship with us. And Jesus said it simply this way, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
Yeah, and it's after all of that, and Saul would have been someone who would have known Old Testament Scripture, right? And in this point, he would have been somebody who would have understood it. I see Saul's understanding here, Saul's humility in this. He wasn't this prideful person where he tried to fight Jesus in this. The New King James is where you can find in verse 6 here, says, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. He was trembling and astonished and asked what he wanted him to. He didn't fight Jesus on this. He just said, hey, what do I need to do? Again, maybe he was convicted in what he was doing, thinking he was doing right. Hey, the light bulb goes off, right? The greatest light bulb ever goes off, where Jesus is telling you that you're persecuting me. I need you to act differently. I need you to go about and be a soul winner for me. Hey, what do I need to do?
Exactly. And I think that is the question we all have to get to. That we have to ask ourselves, okay, God, we just went through that list of all the things that God is to, He was to the Hebrews, that He desires to be to us, right? And Jesus Christ is that way that makes everything possible. And so we have to ask ourselves, well then, how do I get God as all those things over my life? How do I make Him Lord of my life? Well, it has to be through Jesus Christ. Well, what do I need to do? I need to ask that question. Acts 2, they ask that question. What do we need to do? Again, the spectacular is happening all around us, and this is a spectacular chapter, and so we need to understand that God can let these spectacular things happen in everyone's life. And so, what do we need to do? Well, I love that Jesus said, hey, you go in the city, and you're going to be told what you must do. There are no options to this. And guys, when I say guys, I mean everyone listening, okay? I want to be as transparent as I can be. We do not have a choice in how we get to Jesus Christ, how we become a part of the way. We have to obey. If He said, Saul, this is what you must do, then that needs to make my ears open up, because I need to hear that and I need to understand that I don't have an option in this. He didn't say, hey, if you feel like it, hey, if you know it sounds okay to you, or whatever your heart desires, or whatever the Spirit moves you to do. That's not what He said. He said, I want you to do it this exact way, and we'll get into that in a moment. But here's what I want us to understand. I cannot miss heaven. If I miss heaven, I've missed everything. Okay? This whole life I've lived has been for naught if I do not become part of the way and allow all those Jehovahs, all those L's, all those things we just mentioned to be my Lord. And so we're going to see now exactly what He tells Saul to do, or what Saul leads us to do.
And I'll read verses 10 through 17, and we'll find this, and then we're introduced into a new character here, Ananias. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed, and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Justin, before we get into this remarkable scene, I do want to back up to verses 7 and 8. And I don't want us to miss this, and I know that we have it, but please understand, Saul gets up from the ground, okay? Just see the scene in your head. And he opened his eyes and he can't see. And so they have to lead him by the hand into Damascus, which is ironic because originally he was going to Damascus to kill the very people that he's about to become.
Right.
And so for 3 days now, he was without sight. Now I want you to know that my vision is getting worse the older I get. In fact, if you look at Justin's screen compared to mine, Justin's words, there's no way. If we were taking a test, there's no way I could cheat off Justin's screen because I cannot. I mean, they're like just dots, okay? Mine are like this big, okay? So my vision's getting worse, but I can see. But I did the other day, and I get frustrated because I have to wear contacts and then readers on top of that or make my font ginormous. But I got frustrated the other day, and I thought, man, my vision is getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's just aggravating because when I want to be able to see and read and look and do things. And then I thought, what if I was blind? Man, how precious is sight? Saul goes 3 days with witnessing what it was like. And he was blinded. He was blinded spiritually, and now he's physically blinded, which all go hand in hand. And it got me to thinking about our theme, though. Before we get to Ananias, who is really focused, it got me to thinking about our theme this year being focused. You know, and again, I've already said this, but there are perhaps somebody or some that may be watching on here today that may not have the walk you want to have with God. Or maybe not have a walk at all with Jesus or with our Father. So the question has to be then why or why not? Why are we that way or why are we not walking with Him? Well, the answer has to be our vision of God is out of focus. It's not where it needs to be. So then another question that would follow up to that is why then is our vision out of focus? Well, I think we have to be real honest, and this is where rubber meets the road, and this is where we have to be bold. What makes my vision out of focus? Well, it's sin. Sin makes me out of focus with God. When I take my readers off and I take my contacts out, I am out of focus. And I cannot see. So there has to be something that's causing me to do that. Well here it's sin. And it's unforgiven sin. You know, it's unrepented sin. It's unconfessed sin. So I need to ask myself, are sins blurring my vision of seeing God for what we just read that He was in our lives today? Psalm 66, 17 and 18, I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And that's real scary. So we need to think about it. The best intimate conversation or face-to-face, not through text, not through Facebook or whatever. The best, most intimate conversations are usually face-to-face, right? Well, with sin clouding us, we can't have that presence of God in our lives. We can't be face-to-face with Him. So then plainly, what do I need to do to get God into focus? I got to get rid of sin. And that's what Saul had to do. And so now he shows up at Ananias' doorstep.
What do you think would have happened if Ananias had not been obedient to the task? Like, throughout history, God would have found someone else. Like,
sure.
Somebody would have eventually gone to Saul, I believe, to convert him, right? To baptize him, essentially, to teach him about Jesus. Yet Ananias, though, I think his obedience really matters in this. His obedience really sticks out that every once in a while, as a Christian, we're going to face a tough task, right? There may be, being a Christian and standing up for Jesus, it may be difficult from time to time. We need to have the same willingness to obey that Ananias did.
You're exactly right. And I just sat here and I smiled and I thought, how many times had Jesus called out to him in a vision? I have no idea. But he just was cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
Ananias, yes, Lord.
Yeah, here I am.
I would have jumped out of my skin.
Sure.
We have some cameras in our house. And the other day, it was time for Bo to go to bed. And so I was just, one of our goals is not to yell across the house. I could have just said, Bo! So I pull the camera up and I can talk to him through it. And he's sitting there and he's doing something. I said, Bo. And he jumped out of his skin. He said, you scared the daylights out of me. And I know how that is because I'm jumpy like that too. But could you imagine sitting there and God calls out to you, Jesus calls out to you, Ananias. I mean, I'm sure his voice was deep and
sure,
good, you know.
Not like mine.
But he says, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And it goes to your point. He was willing to answer the call.
Yep.
And that's who we have to be. Who is the Saul in our lives that God is knocking on our heart saying, hey, go teach him.
If you have a Ring video doorbell, it's fun to do that as well. I do that to everybody that steps in front of our front door. But anyways, getting back to Ananias, like he was willing to obey no matter how risky it was. Here's a guy who was killing Christians. He's like, God, you want me to go to the man who's coming to that has orders to bind
that
a Christian?
That is a legitimate question.
Right, and I don't know that there was any doubt. He maybe was just double-checking what God's plan was. God was like, yes, go, and he was so willing to do it. I don't think we can get through this without paying attention to the obedience of Ananias because that's
Absolutely.
What God wanted him to do. Would we be willing to have the same backbone to stand up for what God wants us to do, no matter how risky it might be?
That's right. And you know, Justin, Ananias, we don't know a whole lot about him.
Right.
Obviously, we know he's a faithful Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a human, just like you and I.
Right.
But I will say this. Let's just say this is all we know about him. Okay? There's other things that you know, he could be referenced or what have you. But let's just say this is all we know about him. What a significant role he played on us being Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know Saul's going to become Paul,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to, we're going to see that, he's going to go and just preach the truth right off the bat. And so with that mindset, he's eventually going to go on missionary journeys, which helps evangelize the world. And ultimately, we're going to get our independence from Britain years and years and years later,
right.
And Christianity is going to be what really is this country is founded upon. And so that's why we are who we are today, because of the Christianity that this country was founded on. And so here today, 2,000 years later, we can teach Jesus Christ essentially because, number one, of Jesus Christ, but with guys like Ananias.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this here, and you're so right, that he was nervous, and I would have been too. But Jesus, we sing the song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Jesus today still gives us that blessed assurance, and so he gives Ananias some assurance.
Sure.
He didn't just say, yeah, do what I said.
Right.
He said, no, I want you to go. He said, I've handpicked this guy. I've handpicked Saul. I know what he's done, and I know your friend Stephen, and listen, I was ready to go. I was stood up, and like we talked about last week, and I was ready to go. But he said, I want you to understand Saul. I have handpicked him. He's a chosen vessel of mine. Now, don't think he's getting away with this.
Right.
I'll show him the things he's got to suffer. But then verse 17 says, Ananias went to the house and entered it.
Mm-hmm.
There's another song. Trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
For there's no other way. That's who we have to be. And then he goes on to say, he placed his hands on Saul and he said, Brother Saul, I love that.
Me too.
By the way, everybody is our brother or sister.
Yeah.
Everybody. I know that we as Christians sometimes say, well, that's my brother. We call each other brother and sister, and I do that all the time. But everybody is our brother and sister, either through Christ or through Adam.
Mm-hmm.
We're all kin, or through Noah later on, right? We're all kin. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll just say this, and I'll kick it back over to you. Last week, as I mentioned earlier in the lesson, we pointed out Saul was a terrorist. Now think about that. Here, Ananias is going to teach and baptize him. That is remarkable faith on Ananias' part. We need friends in our life like Ananias, like Saul needed Ananias. But we also need to be a friend like Ananias.
No question. So in verse 18 through 22, I'll read this and then I'll kind of tie back into Ananias' obedience through this. Verse 18 says, "And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ." Imagine this life-altering conversion, right? Where Saul was wreaking havoc in Jerusalem and now he is preaching Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In verses 1 and 2, he's seeking to kill and persecute and kill Christians. And in verse 20, he's preaching or proclaiming Christ as the Son of God. That's one of those wow moments. That's one of those spectacular moments that we need to continue to expect in our lives, because if you look at Ananias, and he goes, and what Jesus is holding, that Saul is a chosen vessel or a chosen instrument of mine. Dad and George mentioned that everybody has talent. Mm-hmm. Like we're all chosen instruments of Jesus Christ if we will just choose to follow Him.
That's right.
If we will just choose to allow Him to be the Lord of our lives and commit our lives daily to Him. Imagine what you and I can do. Imagine that you said we need to be like Ananias in our lives too. We need to look at the world like they are chosen instruments.
Absolutely.
Not like, oh, you're a poor, pitiful, wretched sinner. No, we need to look at them like they are chosen instruments, like they are children of God, because that's exactly what they are.
Exactly.
Right? And we need to be like Ananias and go and be willing to speak to people and talk about Jesus. And I know this is a little bit different because Jesus has already spoken to Saul, but we need to be like that, have that faith, have that trust and obedience, and go into to speak to people, whether that may be losing our life or not.
That's right. You know, Justin, I mean, I just amen everything you just said, but when the scales fall off his eyes and he could see again, it's like, okay, I see the difference. Mm-hmm. I see the difference Jesus Christ can make in my life. Isn't that the moment, the way it is done a lot of times here at Isaiah City and other churches? You know, sometimes we'll get that call like we did early on. Hey, I'm ready to be baptized, and it'd be 10:30 at night and we go and we do it. But a lot of times, people may make that decision and they come when we say, hey, if you're subject to invitation, come right now together, we stand and sing. Like the 3,000 did. They kind of just come forward and you see that moment. Maybe they're a little bit anxious because they're in front of everybody or whatever, but it's in that moment that they're like, no, I can see what Jesus is about to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Saul was here. I can see what Jesus was about to do to me. Now, what's the difference? You mentioned that tremendous, I mean, wow moment that he goes from persecuting Christians to being a Christian to encouraging Christians. What's the difference? The blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That blood that we talked about this morning that was spilled on our behalf. You see, how did he contact that blood? Well, he was immersed in water. He was baptized so that God, there's nothing that Ananias did. I mean, Ananias did what he was supposed to do, but when he put him down in the water and he buried him under that water, there was nothing Ananias did. He was just the tool. God did all the work. The water didn't do the work. The blood of Jesus did the work. And everything that Saul had done, I believe it bothered Saul. I believe, you know, as humans, he called himself the chief of sinners.
Yep.
But everything, and you prayed in your prayer earlier, make our sin, help us to remember our sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. Okay, that's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
They were gone. But, think about this. Somewhere along the way in this, Jesus has another conversation with Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, you know those things you did to Stephen? Those things you did to those other Christians, you're going to pay for it.
That's right.
And here's what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to show him the things he's going to suffer.
Yep.
Saul said, again, I see the light. Okay. He saw that, and despite all that,
mm-hmm.
he said, I'll sign up.
It shows that if we submit to God's will, that we can change.
I'd
be willing to bet that of anyone that may be listening to this morning who's not a Christian, you're not as bad of a person as Saul was.
That's right.
Right? You're not persecuting and killing Christians. But it shows that if we submit to God's will, we can change, but we can also fulfill the potential that He sees in us.
Yeah.
Right? Like Jesus knew, like, Saul's energy and his zeal,
yes.
he's going to be a great soul winner.
That's right.
And so he went directly to him. That's the same call for us. He sees our abilities. He sees our talents because he gave them to us.
Yeah.
And he knows the potential that we have. And if we would just submit to God's will, we can change and we can fulfill that potential.
That's right. And not everybody can do like Saul, who becomes Paul, and just go into the synagogues
right.
and start preaching Jesus.
Right.
Now, he was also filled with the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But we all have that gift, like
yes.
you're saying. We all have something that he sees in all of us, and he put it in us, and he said, you're going to use this for the kingdom.
And that's where we get here, because Saul remained zealous.
Right.
Amid persecutions even, right? Like you said, Jesus told him, you're going to go and face all this. You're going to pay for this. You're going
right.
to be persecuted. Ananias, go and speak to Saul here, because I've got to show him what's going to happen to him. Like, through this, in verses 23 through 31...
Before you get there,
That's
all right. I just want to comment on 22.
Please.
I think this is so significant, and I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to be completely frank. I pulled up the New King James. Bam. That's what I always study out of. Then I pull up the ESV. Then I pull up the NLT. Because I just like to use all those translations. Well, I defaulted, my default was a different version.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was copying, I like to copy the text and put it in my notes, et cetera, et cetera. I copied a different version, and it hit me this morning like, Terry... But so I left it. But I didn't realize it. Again, I've read over it so many times. But in verse 22, it said, yet Saul grew more and more powerful. Now, I think the other versions say stronger. But man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. The closer we are to Jesus, the stronger and stronger and stronger we're going to get. And you know what that does? It baffled those Jews. They were living in Damascus. They thought, hey, Saul's coming. He's going to help us drag these Christians out. He said, no. I'm going to try to baptize you. Wow. What a powerful moment.
And I chose it for the scripture reading this morning, but it's exactly like Paul at the point in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks a verse to the church of Corinth that he has already lived, right? Where he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, Saul had become new, right? He remains, but he keeps that same zeal and that same energy that he had. He just reapplies it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can take from that too, because you can imagine in our lives, all of our hobbies or things that we enjoy, we spend a lot of energy. We're in the South. We talk about college football all the time, right? Sports is a big thing down here. Hunting and fishing is a big thing. Bless our hearts, we were born this way, right? But we talk about it all the time. We have this great energy towards some of our hobbies. Well, Saul had taken all of his energy and reapplied it to Christianity. We need to have that same energy, that same focus, that same determination, and reapply it amid any kind of persecution
right.
to Christianity.
That's right.
Saul... Right, like you said in verse 22, he kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. He had people that wanted to kill him now. Jews wanted to kill him. He had to escape through the wall in a basket through night. Some of his disciples had helped him through that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, as Christians, whatever our hand finds to do, we need to do it with all of our might.
Yeah, 23 through 25 that you just referenced, I'll read. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. Again, all this, it just escalates so quickly.
And you thought our 2020 was was very out of focus, right?
But Saul learned of their plan. That wasn't by accident, was it? Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers, I mean, think about the difference now. These were people like Ananias, like, what? You're bringing Saul here? Saul of Tarsus? Now they're like, hey, I get it. This guy's awesome, right, man. This guy, we're glad he's on our team. His followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. All that reminds me is that God's in complete control.
Yes.
Nothing is going to happen without him being on his throne. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember that. As we continue reading here, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And I get it. I mean, he's convinced those in Damascus, but not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Just a couple things I like to point out in this. He gets to Jerusalem. Now, remember, our reputations do precede us sometimes. And Saul had, and again, that could have been part of his thorn in the flesh. We don't know. But he had some convincing to do. So they get to Jerusalem, and they're like, what? You brought Saul of Tarsus here? And they're afraid. Hey, I don't want this guy in our... And I get that. You know, sometimes people are scary, and you know, they've got a past and everything else, and we're like, hey, oh, no, I don't know. I don't want him on my pew or whatever. But I love here that it was Barnabas. I mean, that encourager that we were introduced to, right? Barnabas said, no, guys. He said, Jesus has, this guy's met Jesus Christ. He's seen Jesus, and he's obeyed Jesus. And he's all right by me. And so then they're like, okay, what a turnaround. He went, and that verse there, and that part of that verse in verse 27, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. He went to Damascus originally to kill those or lock them up in the name that were in the name of Jesus. Now he's preaching fearlessly in the name of Jesus. What a turnaround. And verse 28, he speaks boldly. That's exactly what we've been talking about.
Yep. It shows here that Christ is for everyone. Like when you look at the conversion of Saul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says here, the same is trustworthy. You mentioned this earlier. And deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the foremost or whom I am chief.
Right.
His own conversion stands as a model to teach us that anyone can come to Christ.
That's right.
Right? No one is beyond saving.
That's right.
It's possible to reject Jesus. Many people have. Many people we read in the New Testament did. Many people today do. But the principle is still the same, that no one is beyond saving.
That's right.
Right? That has to be, you talk about Barnabas and Son of Encouragement, it has to be one of the most encouraging things that we can read about and understand that nobody is beyond saving. Hey, and even if you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you're still not beyond saving.
And somewhere along the way, I don't know where many have thought that, but I have heard people say before, well, you know, if they know the things I've done or if you knew the things I've done or whatever, hey, we all have a past.
That's right.
Some maybe, you know, a little bit longer list than the others. We all have skeletons in the closet. Some may be a little more full than others, but here's the bottom line. Without the blood of Jesus, we're all lost.
Yep.
But with the blood of Jesus, we can be saved. That message, it resounded with people in Acts.
Yep.
Because listen in 31 again, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, it's like, finally, they enjoyed a time of peace and were strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, guess what it did? It increased in numbers.
Yep.
You see, the message of, when I was a teenager, I didn't want to go to hell, by the way.
That hasn't changed.
42 years old, I still don't. But I became a Christian largely because of fear. all these years later, I still don't want to go to hell, but that's not my main motivation. Understand, that's just part of it. My main motivation is I want to serve God. I want to love Him because you grow. And that message will still resonate with people today. Don't just preach hell. Yeah, we got to preach Christ crucified. And sometimes by the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I get that. But it's about the relationship with Christ as well. And how He can change us, just like you said.
Amidst all this chaos, like that was the two things I just wrote here was peace and growth. But think about us in 2020. Amidst all of our chaos, we can find peace and growth if we walk in the fear of the Lord and we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, right?
That's right.
So I have a few verses here. I'm not going to read them all, but I do want to point out two. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 reads, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints." And then in John 14, verse 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." There we are, walking in the fear of the Lord, how if we can call out for insight and understand the wisdom, right, because of our fear of God, it's the beginning of wisdom and beginning of knowledge. And then we have this comfort of the Holy Spirit. If we can find those two, if we can walk in the fear of the Lord, if we understand and remember that we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have peace and growth in our lives.
Absolutely.
We'll have peace and growth for Azalea City, for this congregation, peace and growth for the church worldwide.
That's right. And you know, I don't want us to ever forget the Acts 9, the conversion of Saul. By the way, he won't let us forget it because he's so proud of that story. He tells it when he's on trial and everything else. He tells it multiple times. But the end of this shifts gears a little bit about two very faithful Christians, Aeneas and Tabitha, who's also known as Dorcas. And so I don't think we'll read all this, but I do want to kind of tell the story and maybe make a few comments along the way. We shift back to Peter. Now, the rest of Acts is really going to be, there's going to be a little bit of Peter in there, but a lot of it's going to shift to Paul, okay, Saul. But here we still have Peter mixed in. Next chapter will be about Peter as well. But he's going to keep traveling, and he goes and visits the church, the Lord's people. And this is a place where he finds a man by the name of Aeneas. And Aeneas, again, just a very powerful story. He's paralyzed, and of course that means he's bedridden. And he's had this for 8 years now. But Peter goes there, and again now, he had that miraculous power of being an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Aeneas." I love that. He just calls him by name. And he says, "Hey, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ is going to heal you. So I want you to get up." And then he didn't just say walk and do all those things. He said, "And I want you to take that bed that you've laid paralyzed on for 8 years, and I want you to roll it up." Now, I want you to know, if I have a mat or something out or sleep, whatever, you roll it up, and what do with it? You put it away.
That's right.
And so I'm taking here that Peter's saying, Jesus Christ, He's going to heal you. So get up out of that bed, roll it up, and put it away because you won't need it anymore. You think about us, how crippled we were with sin. And because of Jesus Christ, just like with Saul, we were crippled, we were blinded, but He said, get up and get rid of the reminders because you are a new person. I just think that's really, really powerful.
We mention Hebrews 12 a lot, talking about laying aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles you or ensnares you, and run the race with endurance. Like that's it. Let go. Roll the mat up.
That's
put
right.
It away. But forget about your past.
Yeah.
Don't. You're not fit for the kingdom, right? If you put your hands on the plow and you look backwards, Let go of what has ailed you. Let go of what's been holding you back. I mean, Saul, the chief of sinners, has been able to be converted in a vessel and an instrument for Jesus Christ. You and I can do the same, right?
Right.
When Jesus says, like Peter tells Aeneas to rise, like in Jesus Christ heals you, get up, put your mat away, let go of your past. Don't worry about anything that has crippled you before. Just focus on what's ahead of you. Right?
Awesome.
Really, really powerful. And then we, like you said, we meet this disciple called Tabitha, or called Dorcas, who I see through this just explained in verse 36, says, "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha," which translated means Dorcas. "She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and she died." But what's important about Tabitha here is we need to be people of action, not just people of words. I'm not saying she went around saying all the great things she was going to do, but she didn't tell people about it. She just went and put her nose to the grindstone, so to speak. She was a person of action, and man, she was respected for that.
Yeah, that references Matthew 6, like we talked about Wednesday night. You know, don't go out and shout to the people what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the Pharisees do. That's what others do. She just went about doing good.
Yep.
She just went about helping the poor. And you know, what a remarkable lady. I remember at Faulkner, and I'm sure they still do, they used to give the ladies, they call it the Dorcas Award, which, you know, some thought it sounded funny, but I guess, but what a mindset. It's awesome. That means, while in their time at Faulkner, they won an award for going around doing good and helping others. And that's who Tabitha's reputation was. And they needed Tabitha. They needed more Tabitha in our lives. And so don't just think this is a men-driven thing.
That's right.
We need all women. We need all men. We need all children. We need all teenagers. We need everybody in every walk of life. And but God needs us to go around doing good. And so once she dies, they send her. And they realize, hey, Peter's over there healing Aeneas. He'll come. Let's get him to raise Tabitha back up. And again, this is a neat story that he goes upstairs and you know, the widows are all around him. They need this lady. She's such a great inspiration. And they're crying and they're showing them the things that Tabitha or Dorcas has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she made this for so-and-so and she sewed this for somebody. And just a beautiful, beautiful scene. And Peter said, okay, I got chill bumps.
Sends them away, yeah.
Said, y'all get out. We'll handle this.
That's right.
He gets down on his knees. And was it George this morning that said, all the great things that happened in the kingdom happen? They always prayed.
Mm-hmm.
You think, and it was one of the points of a faithful church. We better be on our knees leading, right? Peter, with this miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, he still gets down on his knees and he prays.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks over at this body. And he says, Tabitha, get up. And she opens her eyes and she sees Peter. She sits up. He takes her by the hand, helps her to her feet. He called for the believers, especially the widows, presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Now, that belief is full spectrum, right? It's not just, oh, I believe God's out there. They became obedient to the Lord. And just an amazing, amazing way to close out this amazing chapter.
How many times, I believe every Bible study and every sermon now for 10 weeks, we have mentioned the power of prayer, the necessity of being people of prayer. That is something that we can do every day, should do every day, should do multiple times every day. It's something that we need to take part in if we haven't done that. We need to be more, or better people of prayer. What a great chapter. It's packed with so much good information. Shows us that we're never too far gone.
Right.
Shows us in the midst of chaos, in the midst of weeping, right? Of angst maybe, that God can shine. And that people will increase in their faith and that the church will continue to grow. In the midst of our chaos, we can continue to grow.
Amen. I'll say this, and then I'm going to let you think about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
In this chapter, there are three characters, main characters, really. Saul, who's blinded. Aeneas, who's crippled. And Dorcas or Tabitha, who's dead. Where are we? Am I blinded because of some other thing that I've heard that I thought was the truth? Am I crippled because of sin? Am I dead because of my sins? The difference in all of those was Jesus Christ. The difference in us today is Jesus Christ. Have you been immersed in Jesus Christ? To have your eyes opened, your strength back, and to have new life. If not, call us today. And we'll make it happen. We'll find a way. But maybe some of you just need to give an elder a call. Need to say, hey, I've done some dumb things. I've done some crippling things. I've done some foolish things. And I want to come home. Give them a call. Give us a call. We love you. We hope this inspires you like it does us. Because these chapters are just wild kind of chapters. You got anything else, brother?
I know we have a few announcements. Yeah. If you want to do announcements,
go ahead, if you will, close us in prayer.
Yeah, let's do that. And then we'll do announcements and we'll close in a song. Father, thank you so much for your word. What an awesome opportunity we have each and every day, really, to open it and to read it, to study it, to learn more about your will for our lives. Father, thank you for the study we had this morning in Acts chapter 9. Thank you for the characters, as Terry just referenced, the ones that were blinded, crippled, and dead, and understanding that we can find ourselves in those situations. But because of Jesus, we can be healed. Because of Jesus, we can be alive. Because of Jesus, we can be a new creation. We're so thankful for that. Father, I pray that you will bless us moving forward. Help us to take the words that we've heard today that are your words, apply them to our lives so that we can be better people. Help us to improve daily. Father, we are not perfect. We're far from it. But help us each and every day to be taking those baby steps, if it is, to try to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for His great sacrifice. Thank you for this congregation of people, all the families represented, all the love and care that is displayed in this congregation. Father, I know that we're so ready to get back. I pray that you'll continue to keep us safe and healthy, continue to bless all of our families. Please end this virus very soon, end this pandemic soon, so that we can be back together rejoicing and singing praises to you. Father, thank you again for your love and for Jesus, and we pray these things through His name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so remember the classes that are still left this afternoon, teenagers at 12:30, JYG at 1:30, Roadrunners will be at 5 tonight. The elders will be meeting this week to discuss that June 7th date and some further actions maybe. So be looking later in the week for a message probably from George on Facebook. I know he usually will take the initiative there and put that out. Please be praying for them. I feel like they've done an excellent job of leading this congregation through this pandemic. Please keep them in your prayers that they will continue to make wise decisions, the best decisions for us. I think it was mentioned in Bible class, sometimes it may not always be the popular decision, but they are the wisest men of this congregation and the ones that certainly think about us daily and certainly have our best interest at heart and God's interest at heart. So please pray for them. Please be looking later in the week for that announcement.
That's right. And just remember, hey, as our president said, this is essential.
Mm-hmm.
Our church is essential. Awesome. And we will get back. We're going to follow the leads of our elders. And certainly things may not always look like they did the Sunday before March 15th or whatever. But it may not look like that at first. But hey, I know we're ready to get back. Mm-hmm. I know we are. And so I can't wait. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in faithfully. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being you, Azalea City. We love you very much.
Have a great week.